Dave Neal is here, Wendy. You know why? Because he's neat. He's sweet.
He's relatively petite.
Relatively petite.
Depending on where you're looking.
Depending on the angle.
Not the hands, of
I
course.
Thought he was creepy and he's kooky.
Well, he is. He's those
I'm ooky, too.
Yeah.
People don't know.
It's an ooky.
Dane Neal. You are kind of ooky, Dane.
I have been known to be ooky. I've got a sort of an ooky reputation.
Dane, of course, the host of On the Road with Dane Neal, which can be heard right here on WGN Radio Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Nice to see you.
Good to be here. You guys, you know, it was always great to see you, Bill. And
thanks,
I see that
Dane.
We've dressed up. That was one of the things. As each other, sweatshirts, hats, casual attire.
Yes.
You're showing kind of our easygoing nature.
Business casual.
It's not just on Halloween you try to do that. And then I wondered, like, who, you know, the Prince of Darkness is here with you as
That's
well.
Right. Shan's at home. She made me scramble eggs this morning.
Wendy with a killer outfit dressed as Ozzy Osbourne.
Now I can't really tell exactly. You're post-Sabbath Ozzy, or are you kind of Sabbath reunion tour Ozzy?
Sabbath reunion tour.
Yeah.
Looking good.
I'm not paranoid anymore.
Not as crazy, a little more approachable, family-friendly. Also
right.
have all that hits, all the catalogs
yes.
from Black Sabbath.
Yes.
Plus all the Ozzy, you know, solo hits.
Yeah, and there is a bat accessory, Dane. I don't know if you saw it, but Wendy also has a small bat whose head has been chewed up.
Remember, that was like a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, now
Ozzy's biting the head off of bats.
Steve Bertrand's got like a bucket of bats.
As we speak,
yeah,
he's biting the head off of bats.
He also bit the head off a pigeon or something, too.
Ozzy
I think there
Osbourne
were two
did?
Animals, yes.
Wow.
I remember that was during sort of a record producer meeting where they're going to fund his next album or whatever. He stopped in, and in order to kind of live up to the crazy element, this is in the book from Sharon, I think, he sat down and he actually did it, like, you know, in the meeting or something.
That
did he? Was kind of weirded out.
Well,
he also, people threw one on
getter.
Stage one time.
Oh,
with
yeah,
an actual
a lot
bat.
Of times, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah,
I'm all about crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, sometimes you want to have it in a concert setting or maybe an important business meeting. You want to have some crazy food. And other times you just want to do it as part of your everyday life. Part of maybe it's a delicacy in the culture that you admire.
Crazy foods.
Crazy and strange
foods.
A bat is crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't see that. As I did a little bit of research for the segment, as I often do, I did not see the bat head as a delicacy.
Thank
in,
goodness, Dane.
In it. And
not
I think
for
right,
everybody.
It just, you know, it takes a village. And
what
that
are
village
some of
is,
the crazier foods, though, that you came up with? What'd you find?
For the Strange Food Festival, and we know this, we've highlighted, we've had them in here. Usually it is around this time of year. They've moved to the summer because some of these foods are better in warmer weather. You'll see things like, you know, like fried mealworms, like big giant larvae, you know, all fried up.
Why would somebody think that that would be a good food to eat?
A lot of protein.
Is that why?
Okay, so there you go. Wendy, yep, correct on the nutrition scale. Certainly it's good for you. It's a good source of protein. They're probably abundant, as a lot of bugs, you know, happen to, you know, they just, you know, recreate
right
their situation. And you know what, a lot of these things, I'm told, I have not, you know, otherwise
you
I'd be rolling with
it.
That fear factor money if I was able to just eat spiders and things. That they taste good, you know, that these things can't, you know,
I don't believe that. Although you fry anything, fried cheese, fried vegetables, fried maggots.
But he's like, you wrap that larva with some bacon, maybe we're gonna be good to go. So you have things like that in there. You got grasshopper tacos, and you'll
grasshoppers
see that.
Are very popular now.
There's got to be something to it.
Or crickets, I'm sorry.
Let's
like
say,
a bag of nacho cheese flavored crickets.
It's in the same hopping family. You'll see some of that stuff. Ant larva salad, where you just kind of it's still a salad
God.
Is that you know and love, but maybe you just a little bit of, you know, just throw some ant larva.
No.
And then balut from the Filipino community. I've heard about this for a long time.
What is it called?
Balut.
I've heard of that.
And it's a fermented, so you imagine like a duck egg, right? And then imagine it kind of doing what duck eggs do and kind of growing a baby duck, and then you ferment it and you let it get nice and rotten.
And then you eat it
and you enjoy
that?
It. Then you
I love
enjoy.
Your food description on this one.
Ugh.
Yeah. So you
let
got,
it get rotten.
And then
you eat it and it's a delicacy. But I've asked people, but it's not for everybody. So I think even in those cultures where it's considered something that's relatively popular, you're still going to find people that are going to be, that's pretty gross.
Yeah. Go back to the bugs for just a second. Every time,
like I'm the bug sommelier, he's like, what have you got in a...
Every time the cicadas come out, you see people come out with all these recipes for preparing cicadas and enjoying them. But I can't imagine a scenario where I would need to do that.
Well,
why would you want that?
If it's the 17-year cicadas, then you really got to maybe you build up.
You have a long
like
wait.
The, you know, with the McRib, there's some space between
it builds up
a lot of anticipation.
Sure.
People get excited.
Of course.
I think that those, they got to taste probably like a bug, right? They got to taste.
Yeah, they're bugs.
As good or bad as a bug typically tastes. But I think more of that is kind of the gimmicky thing. Like, what are you going to do with them? We've all had that crazy friend, right?
That'll just eat anything.
Light a firecracker off in his fingers and he'll eat a bug. You know, that guy.
Right.
So he's the
guy. But they always have like chocolate dipped cicadas or a cinnamon sprinkled cicada. But why?
Think about it. Shrimp, if you look at what they look like, and lobsters too.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe a cicada tastes just like a lobster.
Yeah, they have those. And I know we brought back some of the little suckers lollipops with either like ants in it or scorpions in it or something. I think a lot of it is just gimmick. It's something kind of fun. It's kind of crazy. But for some of these, the things that you'll see at Strange Food Festival, it's a mainstay as far as one of the kind of the food staples in that culture. So you'll see that stuff.
At several restaurants that I've been to, not necessarily in the continental United States, but more in Mexico and Turks and Caicos Islands, when they serve the shrimp are served with the head on it. Yeah. And I could do without that.
I could totally do without that.
I don't need to see the shrimp's head.
What about crawfish? They have
that. I want to see their head.
I want to look them right in the eyes.
Wouldn't you see handsome scale right in the animal kingdom?
Yeah, them I'm fine with. But shrimp, no.
Okay, so you've got things that are real foods, and then you've got stuff on the spooky factor. You say, okay, you don't want to eat a spider, you don't want to eat some larva or whatever, but you want to have something that's kind of freaky and weird, but on Halloween that replicates something that maybe you wouldn't want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do this with pretzels or some of those little kind of candy sticks, kind of pastry sticks. You dip them in some chocolate, you glue like an almond or a pumpkin seed on the top, and you've got yourself some lady fingers or men's toes. It looks really gross, but it's something that
men's toes, the fresh maker.
Mentos. I looked at some of the pictures, and people could still improve upon that. They don't look stubby enough, at least for my toes. Maybe I don't know.
Want them to look legit. Yeah. You want them to look real.
Yeah, and then the guacamole eyeballs.
Is this similar to like at haunted houses when I was a kid? They would peel grapes and they'd pass them around and go, oh, it's witch's eyeballs.
This is visual, Bill. So you'll see like deviled eggs, but it's guacamole in there. And then you throw an olive on top. You've got guacamole eyeballs. You've got severed fingered hot dogs where you're actually allowed to put the ketchup on it.
Fun. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then these are too gross. I don't know what this has to do with Halloween, but these are disgusting. But kitty litter. There's like kitty litter cake. So what it is, imagine like a cake pan with crumbled graham crackers and things like that, some twisted up Tootsie Rolls in there, a little spatula and pull the kitty litter out.
You're making my mouth water.
It looks very realistic, and they said beware, do not let a real cat near it
because it's so realistic.
Otherwise
looking.
It'll be the Russian roulette of desserts. And then this was, I think, the grossest one is the secondhand swab. Imagine a toothpick with two small marshmallows on the end, kind of looking like a Q-tip dipped in caramel on the sides.
Oh God. Yes. Really?
That's it's gotta great. Taste really good. Sure. But it's just not really one of those cool things. But Bill, you mentioned this and we remember as kids, back when we trusted, hey, reach in here and
touch
feel
this.
What it is. And usually it's a gauntlet of something, to get a prize at the end, you've got to get through the scary gauntlet. You would reach in, you don't get to see these things, but they are items in there. And you mentioned, the grapes.
The peeled grapes.
Peeled eyeballs. Grapes as eyeballs, right? Fuzzy pipe cleaners. And good thing the kids are at school. They're not hearing this. Spider legs, baby carrots, could be toes. Steamed cauliflower is brains.
Yeah.
Oh,
kind of. Although brains aren't that hard.
Are they
really? Not.
I don't think. I mean, I've never felt a brain.
As a serial killer.
Right.
You've got candy corn could be vampire teeth. A peeled tomato could be a heart.
Oh, that's good.
Maybe. Yeah. All right.
Cooked noodles or guts, pastas, bones, pudding could be mud. Wet tortilla as skins.
Yeah.
And then with skins, oftentimes, and unfortunately, if you don't have the right set, potato chips could be scabs.
Oh, God. People are eating lunch at this time.
We're overcooked. Eating lunch.
It's Halloween.
They're not eating lunch anymore.
Overcooked rice as maggots. I mean, so there's a lot of.
God help us all.
Yeah, sliced melon could be tongue.
That's even grossing me out, and I'm the prince of darkness.
You made Ozzy Osbourne upset.
Yeah. So that's a way for you to terrorize your children and have them under the impression that they're doing horrible, disgusting things when they're not.
Of course. That's fun. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more of this sort of behavior. We're 312-981-7200. If you'd like to complain, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
I love this song.
Dane Neal is here, Wendy. He's the host of Dane On Neal. The Road with Dane Neal. Which do you love more, Dane Neal or this song?
The song. Sorry, yeah. Dane.
That's all right.
Came in second.
It just gives me something to shoot for.
Silver medalist. Nothing wrong with
that's
that.
That's right. I'm first loser, as the kids would say.
Are there haunted restaurants in and around Chicago? There can't be.
Well, one of the previous guests obviously, you know, shared that Chicago is a longtime place where a lot of stuff happened. You know, people live, were born, enjoyed, died,
and then died.
In a bunch of different ways. Yeah. And so there's a lot of haunted stuff. And sure, there's some haunted restaurants around and haunted. These are places where people spend a lot of time.
Yeah.
Right? People worked, a lot of that stuff. And there's some not only in the city, but also, you know, we've got a couple I was going to mention. You know, Country House is like one of those kind of.
That's Wendy.
Out near us, Clarendon Hills.
Known for the great burgers and the hauntedness. And it seems as though they have embraced it, you know, because I think it's a fine line. You want to be just haunted enough to be interesting, but not so much that, like, people, you know,
are
feel
afraid
like,
to come in.
Yeah, that it's going to be an issue.
What? It's, the ghost once picked up my check
what?
Over at Country
That's
House.
Very generous.
That's actually a great. Very got to make a commercial for that, and you never know.
How do the ghosts or spirits or apparitions, how do they manifest themselves at Country House?
Because I know what you're thinking, Bill, spitting the food, and that's not something
they wouldn't
that,
do that
we haven't.
Come on.
No, ghosts wouldn't do that.
As long as you don't complain about it.
Right.
So the steak's underdone.
Right.
A lot of times it's just, you know, for the people that work there that's long hours, you know, if there's an office there or a basement there or a place where they go to either get the food or store things or work on things, and mm-hmm. it's usually unfortunately for those people that go to those places hoping to see something, it's usually the people that are there working that end up running into the things.
Yeah.
And you know what, the more interviews you hear with them, they kind of take it in stride. Oh yeah, that's
the ghost,
like
the
Spooky
place.
Larry, you know. Yeah. he takes your pen, you know, or whatever it is. Yeah. Or he turns the radio on or makes the lights flicker, things like that. But some of the places, you know, they kind of just kind of work it into their marketing plan. I love that, Wendy, that sometimes the ghost may pick up your check.
Yeah.
That's good.
They should do that. I mean, management should do that because just
every
that
once
would,
in a while.
Just
occasionally,
yeah.
And then act like, well, geez, this is crazy. This is unexplainable.
Told you we were haunted.
And get one of those meters, like, click, 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 click. Oh, I'm sensing some paranormal.
That's
like,
a great idea.
Like dining ticket. But, do you believe in that stuff? I mean, do you have
me?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No.
I do.
Wendy's okay. A big
I totally
believer.
Do.
See, I'm kind of the. I'm open to the fact that it is, because how could all these people be wrong, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm also, but I got to close myself off to it. My mom always said that, like, oh, we had a Ouija board, and a couple times we would do it, and then sometimes, you know, she'd say, like, hey, do you want it? And I'm like, absolutely not, because you'd say, like, if you show that you're open to it, you're interested in it, then they show up and hang out.
Oh.
And I never wanted
that. You don't
that.
Want that?
So, Wendy, you guys, you have a Ouija board?
Yes, I don't have it anymore. I don't know what happened to it, but
since
I know
the fire.
I mean, who was it? Milton Bradley or Parker Brothers? One of the two made it, sold it. It was mass produced. Yet my mom still had weird feelings of us playing it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, we had it, but she wouldn't let us play it.
There's got to be something to that.
We were like that with Gnip-Gnop.
I loved that.
Connect Four. One of the cool things is when you can learn more about it, and no Ouija, this is a no Ouija, no sand zone, because surprisingly there's laws against it when it comes to presentation. Jim Bergstrom from Red Lion Pub, one of the, by Discovery Channel's estimation, one of the most haunted places in the country right here in Chicago, and he has a manifestation dinner that not only feeds you some pretty good fish and chips, but also share some of the stories. Jim, welcome to the show.
Yes, it's great to be here. Thank you, Dane. Thank you for, you know, it's such a thrill to be to talk to a big shot investigative reporter like you, like Dane Neal.
Yes, it is.
You're to be here.
A paranormal researcher, that's your title. But fill Bill and Wendy in and what you're doing over at Red Lion on the scary, spooky side.
Well, it's at the Red Lion Pub, which is 2446 North Lincoln. And we've been doing it a little over 3 years. Every Saturday night at 5 o'clock, it's Manifestations of Chicago's only ghost dinner. And here's what happened. Shortly after the Red Lion reopened, I got a call from a private paranormal research institute. I'm a magician and an actor, and they found out about my background and that I worked at the Red Lion. And they asked if I'd like to be trained to be a spirit medium to run seance events out of the Red Lion and then report back to them on a monthly basis. So I've been doing that for a little over 3 years now, every Saturday night at 5 o'clock. But the training was fabulous. I had to take 13 different training courses about the who, the why, the where, the what, the how, and about specific things that I had witnessed at the Red Lion myself, even in the short time they had been reopened. And We find out late in my training, I finished the 11th course, and we find out that seances are illegal in the state of Illinois.
You can have them, I think, but you can't call them or refer to them as seances. Is that
exactly
how it goes?
It's a very, very fine line that we're walking. So I had to have a meeting with the Institute lawyers and some local lawyers, and they said, well, you cannot use the word seance. You cannot claim to be contacting a specific dead spirit on the premises. They said the argument was that under, even though it seems like it's certainly happening, you can't prove that in a laboratory situation. They said, or in a court of law. And I said, well, that's probably true. You can't prove
So it builds in, you know, a kind of the fun, sort of that, just kind of the excitement, right, of the whole kind of paranormal, right, the other side thing, along with some great food.
It's got the most popular food on the menu. It's a two-course meal and a glass of wine, a beer, or a cocktail, and a tax and a tip on that. And the whole manifestations experience, which is now, instead of being called a seance, these are now, it's the exact same activity, but they're presented as paranormal experiments to see if the joint is haunted or not.
Nice.
And there's even a souvenir for each attendee to take home. And again, we've been going strong for over 3 years. It's a lot of fun. There are a few laughs along the way, I'm happy to say. And it's a very, very creepy experience during, before, and after, too.
Jim, if people want more information, how do they get that?
They can go to the Red Lion website, and they can also go to brownpapertickets.com to buy tickets directly every Saturday night at 5 o'clock. And my website is chicagohistoricalhauntings.com.
That's Jim Bergstrom.
All right, thanks, Jim.
From
appreciate
the Red Lion Pub.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much,
Jim. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Food and spirits.
See, it isn't just Halloween time. You could do that throughout the year. Ghosts, you know, they never take a day off.
No, they don't. They don't. You don't either, Dane. Hardest working man in this room.
I don't know.
That doesn't say anything.
It can't be. Well, tune in Saturday because we're going to be doing some of that hard work, too.
Saturday at what time? That's 2 to 4?
2 to 4.
Very good. Thank you, Dane.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
A break and then some news. And then Sven Gulli stops by. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.